Did you know May marks National Moving Month? Yep, it totally does. It signals the start of the year's busiest season for people who are moving, relocating, and especially with college graduations and people going into their next phases of life. We thought it was a good time to check in with the Better Business Bureau serving Connecticut. Kristen Johnson is back with us because I would imagine, Kristen, not to talk out of turn, but I would imagine there are just so many opportunities for scams and things to go wrong, right?
Yeah, there's actually three different categories of scams that we see the most. I can talk about those and then we can chat on some ways you can avoid these. I would say the most common one is that you're given, you sign a contract for a certain cost, but then when they go to actually deliver your items, they say that it was overweight and they end up charging you more. And in many cases, it ends up doubling the price that you pay for the move. And you feel sort of like you don't really have any choice. You want your items and they're not going to take them off the truck until you pay. So unfortunately, that's a big scam. Another one is they ask for a large down payment and then they don't show up. And the third one is less common, but probably the most concerning. And this is the one where you really want to get the police involved, whereas your items, they pick up your items, but then the truck never shows up at your door. Literally, they steal all of your belongings or they hold them hostage until you pay an exorbitant amount.
So
those are the scams we want you to avoid.
Okay, so all of those, yeah, I think, are legitimate fears, but totally... obviously having to spend more money than you wanted to, that's a fear, but not getting your stuff back is just the ultimate. But you said we don't really hear that one too often. Not that I want to hear about it, but that one is probably the least that happens in America.
Yeah, well, at least at Better Business Bureau. But again, we would want them to call the police. I think that would be their first call, not necessarily to us, if that happened. So it does happen, and that's why we want to let people know that they need to do their research beforehand, and we have some other tips as well.
Well, and it seems like people take that into consideration. According to the Better Business Bureau website, in 2025 alone, Connecticut-based moving company profiles were viewed more than 6,300 times during that peak period of May to August. So people want to make sure they're not going to get scammed. And look, I get it, right? I mean, it's the biggest transaction of your life when you decide to buy a home, sell your home, all of that. And you don't want something like all the stuff in your house where it needs to get from point A to point B to be the thing that goes wrong. Not to say you want anything to go wrong in that kind of a transaction, but this is sort of like the last step of finally settling into your next chapter. And man, I would think this is one where if you were to get scammed, people are going to spend the money. Like, they're just going to do it because they're like, I just want it to be over with. But before we talk about how you can avoid that, I would also want to touch on, Kristen, the importance of reporting this, because I would think these things can keep happening if we don't, make it known that this company did this or these individuals did this. Right. I mean, that has to be part of, I think, obviously avoiding it. But if you, God forbid, are duped, that you report it properly.
Correct. And I think when we're talking about moving, as you just said, biggest transaction of your life, you're so focused on the house, the inspection of the house, what you're getting for your house. Everything has to do with the house. The moving kind of takes a back seat. People aren't really thinking about that in terms of getting scammed because they're so focused on the house that they're getting or the house that they're selling and that transaction. And the moving kind of takes a back seat. So I think, yeah, it's something that we definitely want to take time to think through. And then if it happens to you, you're so focused on A, I got to get my stuff back, or B, the fact that you lost so much money, who do I talk to? Go to BBB Scam Tracker, bbb.org/scam tracker. It's a great place to not only look up some of these companies to see if other people have been scammed, but report it to warn others. Mm-hmm. It's anonymous. So if you do that, you're not putting your name out there, but at least you're letting the public know. That's how we find out about this. That's how we know these are the top moving scams. It's because people have reported them.
So we've got Kristen Johnson of the Better Business Bureau serving Connecticut and hiring a mover. Obviously we want to avoid you being duped at all. So let's talk about what you can do to make sure you're hiring a credible mover.
So you want to verify credentials, and there's a couple of different places you can do that. Obviously, bbb.org. You want to look at what people are saying about these companies. Nationwide, we have over 3,000 profiles for moving companies. So there's a lot, and those are just the accredited moving companies. So there's a lot of options out there. You want to pick one that's trustworthy. So you obviously go to BBB.org, but beyond that, you want to ask them for proof of that they have the right licenses, that they have insurance. They may be affiliated with certain industry organizations. For instance, the American Trucking Association, moving companies and storage companies can belong to the American Trucking Association. So that's a good place to check. And then the federal DOT website, you can make sure they have a DOT number and they are registered with the federal government. That makes them a certified mover. That makes them more trustworthy. So you definitely want to check out the DOT as well. Another thing you should always do is get everything in writing and preferably have them come to your house. That way you have a more accurate number as far as how much they believe everything's going to weigh, how much time they believe it's going to take the movers, because you may be charged per hour. So have them come in person, have three different companies come, and make sure you get it in writing. If you get it over the phone, it may not be as accurate, and you may be wind up in the situation, as I spoke of earlier, where unfortunately they say your items weighed more than the original estimate, and you have to pay a larger amount. Mm-hmm. And then speaking of paying, discuss the payment terms. How much of a deposit will they take up front? If it's more than, I would say, 10-20%, that's a red flag. You should be paying the bulk of it after the items have been delivered. So you want to talk about that up front, make sure that's in the contract as well. And then, you know, mistakes happen, unfortunately. They should have insurance in case they drop a box or they break something. But it's always good to determine what your homeowner's insurance policy covers as well. So do that. Some people want to pack themselves. Know that if you do that, the moving company is not going to pay out any sort of damage. So you may want to have them pack your stuff. That way they are liable if something breaks and they will cover the cost. But then know that will take them more time and you're paying for a larger moving charge. So you have to weigh that as well. And lastly, I would say anything that you're really concerned about, take yourself. So if you have any mementos, any jewelry or rare coins or anything like that that you are worried about being stolen, keep that in the car with you.
The other thing too, Kristen, when we talk about vetting a company, I think it's so important, which we're going to link the DOT website, the American Trucking Association website, and obviously the Better Business Bureau's website. You know, I don't know if you have found this yet, so I might be making something up. Feel free to tell me that. But you know how when you get an item in the mail from, you know, let's say it's an Amazon or something like that, and you'll look at the reviews online, but then you find out that this was actually not even what you had ordered, or it was sent to you and you never ordered something, and you realize that those reviews are not even real, or that they were kind of done internally. I mean, do you worry about that happening with companies like a moving company, or really any kind of a service where you're really at their beck and call? I mean, you're asking them to take all of your furniture, all your belongings, and get it from one place to another without breaking it and all that. I mean, I would imagine it's not enough just to read reviews for you to feel confident that you're going with a certain moving company.
It depends on where you're reading those reviews. So if you go to BBB.org, they actually review the reviews. And so you can only have one from one IP address. So that lowers the risk of fake reviews, right? Or companies trying to ruin other companies' reputations. We make sure that the person filing the review actually did business with that company. So, and compare that to maybe a different site where you could get reviews, fake reviews. You could have your friends and family constantly faking reviews. So you have to just be careful on what website you're. If you're at the actual business's website, yeah, I wouldn't trust those. They're not going to put negative reviews on their own website, right? They're only going to put the positive ones, and you don't know where those reviews came from. So that's why you want to find a neutral website to look at reviews. But not only that, complaints and that sort of thing, and seeing how they handle complaints. So, you know, sometimes the business is in the wrong. Sometimes it's the consumer's expectations. So you don't want to just look at the complaints, but look how the business handles those complaints. Look at their response to them. Are they responsive at all? And if they're not responsive, that's also a red flag.
This is like the pet scam, but on drugs. It's terrible. We're chatting with Kristen Johnson of the Better Business Bureau serving Connecticut, and we were talking about moving scams that could happen here and across the country. But while I had Kristen here, I thought, let me ask her about this. Because, Kristen, we have talked on this show before about if people are going to buy a kitten or a puppy, for example, online, and then that kitten or puppy did not even exist, you lose a bunch of money, it's like a double whammy, oh my gosh, horrible, terrible, awful, all the things. But I was reading that Senator Blumenthal is warning about this new and rapidly expanding scam where swindlers are using images generated by artificial intelligence to tap the wallets of desperate and heartbroken owners who have lost pets. So apparently the scammers manipulate photos of your lost pet, and it's because you posted it. Like, so if my dog went missing, I posted on social media, has anybody seen my dog? And then they make it appear that the animal's been hurt and like needs to have surgery done or need, you know, whatever, and they demand money from you. But it's like the pet scam just on another level. It's horrible.
You know, I a couple of years ago we had this come out with missing children where they would steal photos of kids and post them on Facebook and pretend that they were missing and trying to collect money to find them.
That's the worst.
They were doing it in local Facebook groups where you think that you can trust everyone because they're people in your town, but they were infiltrating these Facebook groups that weren't really being policed and pretending to be, you know, your neighbor, your person in your town that you think you might know, or stealing Facebook profile. So you think it actually is someone you know, but their profile has been stolen. And then, yeah, posting pictures of kids, also injured first responders. So, I mean, this goes right along with that, for sure, for sure.
And that's why when you see... What do you do, though? Because, like, in that situation, like, you really don't know where your animal went. So how do you know, kind of thing? I mean, would you just call the police directly, or what do you do?
I mean, definitely, you want to, I think you would want to call the police. You don't want to believe everything you see on the internet. That includes everything you see on social media. If it's in one of these groups, if you're seeing it there, like on a social media group, I would alert whoever is running the group that, hey, I think this person is a scammer. And you just, you know, you want to communicate to whoever you can, that you don't think this is real. But I mean, AI, it's so, you always say, if only they could use
Their smarts for good.
Put it to good use. If only they could use AI for good, because obviously it has a lot of benefits. But unfortunately, we just have to be that much more careful, because they can make a website look so much more legitimate. We've heard stories of parents getting phone calls where they have manipulated their child's voice. You know, they have stolen it off of social media to make them think that they've been kidnapped and they need to pay a ransom. So none of this, although I haven't seen it specifically at BBB, it doesn't surprise me at all.
No, I know. I was actually having that conversation with a colleague of mine and over the weekend, because she has elderly parents and they got the, you know, the typical text that, you know, one of their kids was in, you know, was in trouble, lost their phone or whatever, you know, like a scam. And they ended up losing hundreds of dollars because they wired it and all that. And she was like, can you talk about this? And I was like, we talk about it all the time. But I think that we don't, like, we haven't even as a society on average figured out the impact of AI, for example. We haven't. We really haven't. I think we on the surface feel like we are getting it and we're learning more about it. But I think it's that idea of, we don't take a breath and think logically, like, would this really happen? Does this actually make sense? And something I was telling my colleague was, in that situation where, if God forbid, somebody is in trouble, you know, allegedly and all that, one thing I've always learned is a code word. You know, like, have your kid or have your person give you a code word. Like, oh, absolutely, I'll wire that money. Just really quickly, what's our code word? I mean,
sure.
Because that is just a very simple, I've learned that from police, and I've even tried that with my 7-year-old for, you know, many reasons, where I'm like, hey, have a code word, and you know, the school knows what it is. I've told the school what it is. But it's so important, I feel like, just those little things, because I really don't think we realize it's not just a grandparent scam anymore. I think anybody can get scammed, especially in the age of AI. It's amazing.
We always talk about how scammers are one step ahead, AI allows them to be 3, 4, 5 steps ahead. Mm-hmm. So while we're slowly harnessing the power of it and learning it, they are already on top of it, creating it. And that is really scary. And that's why it's so important to pause, really just pause and think about what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and you have identified those red flags before, Kristen. I mean, anybody that's demanding should immediately be a red flag. The wiring or send it over a third peer app or the gift cards. But it is interesting because it feels like even the whole gift card thing is not I'm not seeing that. I still get those text messages that's like, hey, you owe a bunch of speeding tickets that I've never gotten before, but they're not asking for gift cards. It's like, just click the link and then put your credit card information in. I mean, they're starting to, I think, even get away from some of the typical red flags. I don't know if you feel the same way.
Well, I just processed a scam tracker report this morning. It was an employment scam. They were sent a check and they were told to purchase 2 Apple gift cards and then take pictures of the front and back of them.
Oh, so it's still alive and well.
So it still happens. Yeah, it still happens, but we still need to get the word out for those people that haven't heard, for sure.
Yeah.
Like for the people in the back and for young consumers who maybe didn't hear the warning a year or two ago, who are now starting out in this world, who are more vulnerable to traditional scams that us as, you know, adults have heard of, and we know the warnings and we hear the red flags all the time. They may not know them. And so that's why it's so important to tell your neighbor, to tell your daughter, to tell your grandparent, to tell the people who aren't hearing it what's out there. And that's why we are such big cheerleaders for Scam Tracker, because that's a great way to let people know what you're seeing. Even if you don't lose money, let people know you were targeted by this scam, because the next person might not be so lucky. And before we go, I want to tell people, we were talking about moving scams. If you go to bbb.org/moving, not only do we have information on the scams we talked about, but we have tips about renting a storage unit. And then we also go through the pros and cons of full service movers versus if you want to get your own truck versus like getting a moving container, like a pod. So go there and you're going to get a wealth of information that can help you in the next few months.
All right. And we're going to actually put those links as well to your attach them to your podcast, Kristen. And you can find all of that on our website, voiceofct.com, under Melissa in the Morning. Kristen Johnson, I always appreciate you. Thank you so much for talking everything scams and how to avoid them. We appreciate it.